Before reflecting on today's scripture readings, I'd like to make a couple of introductions to you this evening. Sitting in towards the back of the church are a group of Capuchin friars, and they have one of their formation houses here in Philadelphia, the first stage, which is called postulancy. And it looks like they brought their new postulants to the cathedral for Mass tonight. So brothers, would you please stand up so we might welcome you to Philadelphia. And in this row here, Zachary just got married, and he brought his bride to Mass tonight. So two of you stand up so we can congratulate you on your wedding. I'm sure there's others, but I don't know all of you. So, there's a sister there, a sister of life, who I understand just made her perpetual vows. Is that correct, sister? Sister, you're visiting here with your family, I understand. Please stand up so we can congratulate you. The ministry of the Sisters of Life is to make all of us in the church and in the broader world aware of the gift of life and how it's threatened by so many things in our society. And with the news around Planned Parenthood that we've heard the last two or three weeks, I'm sure it's very important for us to support you, sister, by our prayers and in every way possible. So thank you. And I see Generation Life. Oh, the new, what's it called now? The Culture Project is here. They're a young group of young people who are missionaries for life traveling around the country, and they're based also in Philadelphia. Now you should stand up. Looks like a new group. We got a lot of good people in church today, as always. So now, to get busy about today's scripture readings. For those of you who know the liturgy in the Roman Rite, you're aware of the fact that the scriptures, the Gospels, are given to us in three different years. One year we have readings from the Gospel of St. Matthew, another year Luke, another year Mark, and then the Gospel of St. John is used after Easter, in the Easter season every year. But this year, which is a year from the Gospel of St. Mark, there is a 4 or 5 week period where we leave the Gospel of Mark and go into the Gospel of St. John for chapter 6, which is Jesus's talking about the Eucharist and his desire to give himself to us as the bread from heaven. And we have one of those readings today. And today's first reading, which is from the Old Testament book of Kings, helps anticipate that gospel. So let's look at this reading from the first book of Kings. I think that the theme we could gather from today's first reading and gospel is that Jesus wants to be the nourishment for us on the journey of life, which is sometimes a very difficult journey. So this reading from the book of Kings, to understand it, we have to understand the context. Elijah has been fighting with the queen. In fact, just before this, he had a major battle with 300 of the queen's priests and prophets of the false god Baal, and he killed them all. And the queen, whose name you all know, was very angry about this. This is the name you don't want to give your daughter, right? Her name was Jezebel. And she sent a message to the prophet Elijah that because he had done this, she was going to kill him. And in this reading, Elijah is running into the desert to escape the evil queen. And that's where we pick up this reading. Let's look at it. Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree. There aren't many trees in the desert in Israel. And when the prophet came to this tree, some shade, he sat beneath it and decided to give up. He was afraid of the queen. He felt that his mission had somehow been undermined and destroyed. So God sent him a message, a messenger, an angel, who brought him a hearth cake, a loaf of bread, and a jug of water, and said to him, I'm sorry, I have to find it here. It just says the angel told him to get up and eat. And Elijah saw the bread and the water, and he ate and drank it. But he still wasn't energized. He was still tired and worried. So he sat underneath the tree and decided to die. So the angel of the Lord came a second time and brought him another jug of water and another loaf of bread and told him to get up. And these were the words that he used. Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you. And this time Elijah got up and he ate the bread and he drank the wine. And it tells us that he journeyed 40 days and 40 nights into the desert, which, for those of you who know the Old Testament, that reminds you of the 40 years that the Jews wandered in the desert as they left the slavery in Egypt and headed towards the Promised Land. And finally, he arrived at Mount Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai, which was the mountain where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and established a covenant relationship with the Jewish people. And these covenant relationships are very important because what that simply means is that God promised the Jewish people that he would be their God, and they promised him that they would be his people. It's like the relationship between a husband and a wife when they get married. They make mutual promises of mutual commitment. And what's being told to us in this reading is that at this moment, at a very difficult moment in the journey of Elijah's life, God renewed the covenant with him that God made with the Jewish people, that he would always be faithful. Now, the lesson for us is the same lesson, that in all the difficult journeys of our life, God promises us that he's going to be faithful. We are his people. That means we're going to be faithful to him, and he is our God, which means that he's going to be faithful to us. Now, do you believe that? Do you trust God to be faithful to you in the difficult moments of your life? What are some of those difficult moments? How about some marriage problems? Or you lost your job? Or you're ill? Or somebody in your family you love very much is ill? Or you see turmoil and confusion in the life of the church? Or you're afraid that you'll never find the right woman or the right man to marry? I mean, there's all kinds of very difficult moments in our lives when we're tempted not to trust in God's care and love for us. And this reading tells us that those moments, God comes to us to nourish us, to give us strength for the journey. Now, as I said, today's first reading helps us to understand today's gospel. So let's look at this passage from the Gospel of St. John. It begins by telling us that the Jewish people murmured about Jesus because he said to them, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And like all human beings, they couldn't believe that God could possibly be speaking to them through the ordinary people that they knew. I mean, they say about Jesus, "Who is he? Is he not the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? How can he say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" You know, there's a resistance on the part of God's people, that means all of us here, to listen to God as he tries to speak to us through the voices of others, and we have a tendency to murmur against him and complain about our lives. And in the face of that, Jesus tells us that he himself is the bread come down from heaven to nourish us in our daily struggles in the journey of our lives. Listen to what he said. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." You know, we don't come to Jesus in faith unless the Father is active in our lives, drawing us to Jesus. Faith is not something we acquire through our own efforts. Faith is a gift that comes to us from God. But it's a gift that God wants to give us. And Jesus is pointing it out that, you know, the Father desires to draw us to his Son if we just listen and allow that grace to be operating in our lives. Jesus goes on to say, "Everyone who listens to my Father learns from him and comes to me. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." Now, when most people hear this phrase, eternal life, in the Gospels, they think Jesus is promising them that when they die, they'll go to heaven, which Jesus does promise us. But in the Gospel of St. John, when the word eternal life is used, St. John is not talking about the life we'll lead after our death. He's talking about the quality of life we're supposed to lead today. That those of us who are Christians, already now, because of our baptism, should begin to lead eternal life. It's a different quality of life. It's a life patterned on the life of Jesus Christ. It's a sharing in the life of the Holy Trinity. And already, you and I have the capacity to begin to live eternal life, which means to live a life that's different than the life of the world around us. It means to think like Jesus and to begin to act like him. And I'd like to turn back to the second reading from the letter to Ephesians for an example of what this means. In this reading, St. Paul is talking to the Christian community in Ephesus about Christian virtues. He contrasts anger with love. This is what he says. "Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you along with malice. And in place of these, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ." And then he goes on to say, these are the important lines. "So be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God." Eternal life, the life we're supposed to be leading now as Christians, is, as St. Paul says here, to imitate God. That's what we're called to do. You and I don't become Christians by following rules. We don't become Christians by avoiding anger and all those bad things. St. Paul is telling us that we don't do bad things because we're Christians. Doing good things doesn't make us Christians, but being Christians means we don't do bad things because we're supposed to be already living the life of God. To see the neighbor as God would see them. To love them as Jesus loves them, Jesus who gave himself up on the cross for them and for us. Now, this is not possible for us on our own. For us to live this way, we need the nourishment, which is Jesus, who is the bread of life. Now, for the next two or three weeks at our Sunday Masses, we're going to hear the completion of this reading from the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus tells us that he wants to give us his flesh for the salvation of the world. He told the Jewish people that he would give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. You might remember that when the apostles and the others heard this, they were confused. And they asked questions. And in response to those questions, Jesus repeated those words, that he was going to give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And the scriptures tell us that some people who were his disciples decided at that time to go away from him because they couldn't believe what he said and didn't want to do what he asked them to do. And Jesus turned to Peter, who represents all of us, and asked him a question. He says, "Peter, will you also go?" And in response to that, Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." To follow Jesus is a difficult thing. And we might be tempted in our times to walk away, as some of his disciples were tempted to walk away at this moment in Jesus' life and preaching. some of the difficult moments of our time or the life issues that I talked about at the beginning of Mass. Do we stand with Jesus and his church on the life issues in a culture where life is cheap and there isn't an unwavering respect for unborn human life? In fact, sophisticated people in our culture think it's strange that we would be pro-life as the church calls us to be pro-life. A very contemporary issue is the issue of marriage and the meaning of marriage. Do you stand with Jesus on the meaning of marriage? Or are you tempted, like so many people are, even members of our church, to go a different way because they just can't believe that this could be what God would ask of us? But he does. He asks us to believe that marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman for the sake of children in a state of permanent commitment. That's what marriage means. That's what it'll always mean for Christians. And if we can't accept that, we're in the category of those who walked away from Jesus. And when they were tempted to walk away, Jesus did not say, "Oh, I didn't really mean that. Come back on your own terms. Whatever you believe is just fine." What Jesus did was repeat the truth again. And he does that to us time and time again in the scriptures, inviting us to fidelity. But we can't be faithful unless we're nourished for this difficult journey through Jesus, who is the bread of life. And we do that every time we gather for Mass, as we do this evening. Once again, he comes among us, and the bread becomes his body, and the wine becomes his blood, and he gives himself to us for the salvation of the world. We ask the Lord to help us to believe that and to truly receive him in a way that nourishes us for the journey that lies ahead. This week, next week, and the months and years ahead. May the Lord bring to completion the good things he begins in our hearts tonight.